All righty, let's pray right quick. Father, we come tonight to hear from you. By your Spirit, we want to understand and change, grow in strength and boldness and faith. Teach us through your word. Cause us to hear, to be restored, to be grown, to be more like you. For that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, just in case, anybody else got a praise report? I've been hearing hers. She's all excited, ready to go. Anybody else?
Praise report. I heard someone in the church and he was so excited. You know, about kind of like he's Baptist, but he's one of those Spirit-filled Baptists that love, you know, loves the Holy Spirit, the move of the Holy Spirit. I told him about our church and how he fit it right in, so he might come visit us.
He'll have to leave the Baptist church. I should clarify by saying, by my experience, he'll have to go somewhere else. You know, it's kind of like being a Spirit-filled Catholic, yeah. The way they say that. You can be that. Not long, but you can be that. I know a lot of center church members, and they're on their way, hopefully on their way to change. So, if you follow God in the Spirit, he will grow you out of a church that does not allow the Spirit. The Baptists, they talk about the Spirit in one vein. The Catholics, they talk about the Holy Spirit a whole lot more than the Baptists do. But neither one of them really believe in the Holy Spirit. Not in the way it's presented. That's what I meant by that.
What they do is they mix the Spirit with the soul.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. That's where they get all screwed up.
Well, the Nazarenes, they talk about the Spirit, but they don't really... How can I say it? It's just not serious. It's just not serious. The Spirit is there to pat you on the back, give you goosebumps, but he doesn't do anything else. He doesn't do any changing, directing, and he surely doesn't do any exciting.
So,
well, he's a little puppy dog on a leash that's to help you, make you feel fuzzy and warm at night. I don't think he'll be put in that position. And I don't think I'm going to hang around somebody that does try to put him in that position. That's what I mean by growing out of it. Nothing wrong with meeting the Holy Spirit right where you are, but you got to grow into where somebody accepts that. So that's what happened to me. All right. Once again, we're continuing to study for the characteristics, the attributes, the works of the Holy Spirit. We know that he's the third person of the Trinity, alive and real. We've pretty much established through study of the Scripture that he is the one that resides in and with us. And hopefully one day we teach our children correctly that it's not Jesus that lives in us. We live in him, therefore the Holy Spirit lives in us. Or the Spirit of the living God. I think not that we're looking for technicalities, but we are looking for understanding.
Right.
I've said this in other ways. You got to put legs on things that are in the Bible. Mm-hmm. When you study something in the Bible, a person, a place, a thing, an action, or a faith, or whatever, it needs legs. We need to be able to walk it. We got to walk it out. If we can't walk it out in our lives, it's a nice story. That's all it is, and it never becomes real in life. We're probably going to hit a little high center here today, but let's start by 6:11. All right, let me start with 6:9, and we'll go through 11. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. I'm already there. How come you're not? I just expected you to be there. I'm beginning to act like my wife. She always starts in the middle of a story. You go, wait a minute. I got to catch up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, or 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I put that in there because A lot of times to see white, you see it best by showing some black beside it. Mm-hmm. Right? And so what we know that there is no outflow of the Holy Spirit is involved in these things right here. Does that make sense to you? Okay, then verse 11. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. The reason I brought this up is I want you very much to understand, very much understand that God is the Word. God is the name. God is the righteousness. God is the Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus, we get hit, we get on high center with the name of Jesus. We lose clarity when we put all power in the name of Jesus, when we must understand. Do you understand that Jesus is the character of God?
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, He was the character of God placed on this earth as an example for us.
Amen.
A hero, a brother, somebody we can relate with. God did not want to be so out there that He never could be real to us. Well, Jesus was given, and when we talk as an example to live, to walk, to show us, that the message from God was not untouchable.
Amen.
Yeah.
What do you mean by the character of God?
That. What you just did is character. Is a character. You know what a caricature is?
A caricature is a drawing that accentuates certain
attributes. Okay, yeah. And to me, I did not want to use the word caricature of God because most of the time that's kind of joking. We see it as a joke. But he said it exactly right. It highlights I don't want to use the word exaggerate, but it points out some of the different characteristics about me, you, whatever. And sometimes but the character of God, there can be two twins. I know we had a couple of twins go to church here for a while. And even though they were twins, their character was totally different. One was more serious. One was interested in having kids. One was interested in making money. You know, the character of the man is different. You understand what I'm saying? Harry has his character. He's got the same body parts I do. He was birthed the same way. He grew the same way. He eats the same way. He talks the same way. He listens and hears. Okay. Don't go any further. But our character is different. Placed there by heredity, by where we grow up, the influences about where we grow up. But once we're born again, our characters are the character. Who we really are changes. But it doesn't, parts of it change exactly like God. Parts of it we don't understand. God wants, I'm not going to use some of the words the news media uses, but He wants us to be different according to our calling.
Amen.
I told somebody Sunday morning when they were talking to me about a situation. When you become serious about being a teacher for God, you must have the character of a teacher. What does that mean? That means if I show up here as a teacher, I can't say one thing and do another. Because therefore I'm not a teacher. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm not a righteous teacher. If I am an expounder of the Holy Spirit, one subject as a teacher, and I don't show attributes of the Holy Spirit working in me, then I'm a false teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm teaching on a true subject, I'm a false teacher. The character of a man. If I was out in the countryside, the character of a man. If a man finds my billfold and he has character, he brings it to me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't steal out of it and bring it to me. Now we're getting more into righteous character. The character of a man that's righteous, he doesn't lie. And he doesn't like people that do. Now, there's a lying character and there's a truth-telling character. If you want to define a character, it's what I am inside. It's what manifests to you. If I would ask you, do I have a characteristic that you've noticed, you're going to tell me one. Can't be bred in. The genes that I have, they don't change that. It's just part of who I am. How do you change it? Don't know. I'm not really interested right now in finding out. I want my spiritual being to be changed so that my character changes. Let me give you another thing that I think. A man that is pig-headed and hard-headed, and I mean set, he will fight over a lie. He doesn't care. It's his way, and I'll fight. Doesn't make any difference. When God gets a hold of him, the character of God is right. Now that same man wants to fight over what's right and not just fight. Does that make sense to you? A guy that likes to talk a lot. When God gets a hold of him, his conversation turns to talking about God a lot. It's a character changing. Same characteristic, but taking on the characteristic or the character of God. Now Jesus, when he walked this earth, and this is what I don't care about a lot of churches. Jesus walked this earth, the only thing he ever talked about was the Father. He never preached himself. He only preached the Father. He preached the kingdom of God. Amen. Never varied from that. That's why I call him the character of God. Now, you and I need to be those same characters. And that's what the Holy Spirit is sent to do, is to help us become like Jesus, like the Father. Amen. And I get disappointed that, and this is not to put Jesus down, but I get disappointed sometimes that they talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus so much that the Father disappears. Mm-hmm. Or they talk about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit so much that Jesus and the Father disappear.
That's right.
I want the character of God in my life and I want the character of God in the church.
Amen.
To do that, I can study the life of Christ, I can study the words of Christ, but even as we've been studying, even that doesn't work without the Holy Spirit. You can't get that revelation without the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You can just study his life and it becomes historical.
That's right.
It's a historical walk and talk. That does not reveal God. Did you know that history doesn't reveal God? It does, I mean, technically, but seriously, when you and I are talking about history, God doesn't pop in our mind. But when we praise God, then history is set in order. We talked about that in last night at the Bible study. We talked about how the teachers would set and remind the people of what God had done for them in Nehemiah. Remind them over and over. And in that, God was exalted and their faith was lifted. If they just sit down and read a history book about all of those going through the Red Sea and all that stuff, God would not have been exalted. You exalt God to understand history. You don't exalt history to understand God. And that is by the Spirit. I know it. Did I get anywhere close to answering your question? I hope so, because I wore my voice out. No. This weather right here is... When you're born and raised on the coast, dry weather doesn't help your voice. I can promise you that. All right. We went through 6:11. Let me go a little further. No, let's go ahead and jump on over. Let's jump to the 12th chapter of Corinthians, because this is what everybody wants to talk about. All right, at the 12th chapter. Bill, you put me in the wrong place. Huh? All right. One of the things that we know that God does is he gives gifts. Everybody agree with that?
Yep.
Now understand, I'm not going to say the Holy Spirit gives gifts. Because the best of my understanding, the Holy Spirit obeys God.
Yes, right.
in anything that he does. That doesn't mean he doesn't usher them in. He doesn't anoint. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it was God's idea, therefore the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay. That keeps it straight for me. So the first verse of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. In other words, whatever way they went, whatever you were taught, that's where you'd go. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one could say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So there's two things there that Paul says that happens. Number one, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you know the Holy Spirit, that nobody would ever say Jesus is cursed. Number two, you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt what? What's number two? See if y'all are listening.
That Jesus is
the Lord. By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one that's going to begin to reveal to anyone that Jesus even exists, much less that he's the Lord. There are, and then he jumps, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, to me, this is very important because whether you realize it or not, everybody in here is different.
Yeah, right.
I don't care what. Everybody in here is different. Now, we can call that a gifting, but the main manifestation, I'm not saying everybody in here has a different gift. I'm saying that everybody in here is different. And that leads us to the understanding that every gift is different. Now, if we, the reason, let me get it straight. I don't understand the intolerance in the church. Because in most churches, if you don't fit their profile, you're going to be ostracized. I worked enough in the prophetic realm to know that a prophet is always ostracized. I don't care what. That's an understanding. And anybody that says any different, they don't understand the prophetic. The prophetic gift causes people to be uncomfortable. You don't have to say anything. Am I lying?
No.
You can walk in a church and you can cause the church to be uncomfortable.
That's right.
That's what the prophetic gift does. It is administered by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean by? It may be given by God, but the Holy Spirit is the one that tells what to say in the prophetic, what to do. Does that make sense? He doesn't tell everybody that. He tells only those that he's given the gift of the prophetic. Not of prophecy, but of the prophetic. Two different things. Do what? Probably here close, we're going to hear him say, all may prophesy. Prophesy is basically using the Word of God to speak something into existence or out of existence. That's what, when he says all may prophesy, it literally means that. To speak to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you say. That's prophecy. But it is not prophetic. You don't have to be a prophet to prophesy, but you got to be a prophet to be prophetic. Okay? If you've got the Word, and if you've got the Holy Spirit, you can prophesy. I promise you, no doubt, no ifs, ands, or buts. Don't try to be a prophet. Because a prophet is a foreteller. That's a very, he's a seer and a foreteller. Those are the two definitions that go with the word prophet. So you put the prophet speaking is prophetic. And so what is he going to speak of? He's going to speak of things that God shows him through his spiritual eyes, sometimes physical eyes. And he's going to foretell things to come. Going to foretell things to come. It doesn't always have to be rapt. He doesn't have to speak. But he knows. When you say a seer, that's also a knower. He can see things in people. He can see spiritual things. He can see futures in people. He can see. And it's just amazing. The prophetic does the strangest things to the person. What it does is it breaks his. The first thing the prophetic spirit does to a person is it breaks him down in everything he thinks he knows. I don't care what. It just tears you a new one. How's that? Because everything, especially when you come out of a law church like I came out of, which is a works church. Most churches are works church. That's what they are. By works, they get things done. And then God will walk up and touch a prophet and give him all kinds of understanding and revelation, and he didn't do squat. In fact, he may want to run from it because it's so scary. So the works have to go out the window. A prophet understands that there aren't any works involved in salvation more than anybody else does. Even an evangelist, when he receives a great gift of forgiveness, understanding forgiveness, he does not appreciate his God and his Savior like a prophet does. Because he understands unearned income. He understands the pay is good and I didn't do a thing. I could tell you a lot of instances about the other thing by the Spirit, since we're dealing with the prophetic, is that if you're really in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're going to see the prophet. He doesn't have to introduce himself. That's another thing. I don't know about that everybody else. I can't tell that about every other gift, but I can promise you the prophet is a scary hombre, and you can see him in the Spirit. When I walked into this town, went to Church on the Rock over there on Wadsworth, I sat about where Harry's sitting, maybe one seat further, because I like to be towards the front, with a determination in my heart not to ever say anything, do anything. I wanted to be left alone. I'd come from a great battle, and I wanted some rest. That's all I wanted. And I promise you, I was more in about a 500-member church. It seemed like the spotlight was always on me. I got blamed for everything in the world. And you know what God does? God does some strange things. When you think you can hide, the one thing that God taught me in that church, I remember sitting ready for church. They had a tremendous pianist. Her son got ended up getting killed in Columbine. Daughter, yes. Tremendous. The pastor was a musician. Artist in a voice. Tremendous professional quality. They had a good music department. So you always enjoyed that. So you sit down, you get ready for that. And I looked up and I saw this woman. She wasn't close. She was quite a ways away. And I knew she was sick. I mean, my problem is you ought to see what I see. I don't understand why you don't see that, but I can see she was sick. Okay, so what? She's sick. People get sick. God says, go up and pray for her. Now, you got to understand, I'm public enemy number one. They don't want, no reason, that's just the way it is. And by the Spirit, I heard the Father say, go lay hands on her and pray for her. Nope, God, that's just going to cause problems. Well, He knows how to cause problems. God knows how to cause problems. And so the pressure comes, okay. So I get up, I don't say anything to anybody, I walk up, I sit down on the bench beside her. She's playing. And I said, you're sick and God wanted me to tell you that you're healed. Be healed now in Jesus' name. And I got out of town. Fast as I could get off there. Because I knew that all the elders and the pastor and everybody else were watching me like, what are you trying to do? I got back and I sat back down. God said, do it again. Do it again. You went a little too fast. You got to do it again. Hey, God, I don't have to have a long prayer. I said, do it again. And tell her this for me. Tell her that the minute she starts praying, or playing, praising, not just playing, but playing with praise in her heart, she's going to be instantly touched. Okay, I got up. I went up there, sit down beside her. I said, I guess I didn't do it right the first time. Let me tell you what's going to happen now. Now, see, here's where the prophet can prophesy. All right? He can say, this is what God says. God says the minute you begin to enter into worship through your playing, you're going to be instantly healed, and you're going to know He did it. Boom. Back down, sit down. Okay, now I'm interested. Now I got my eyes open now, because I can see this lady is sick. They took off on the first song. She starts playing. She's sick, and she's mechanically playing. You can tell that. And you can tell her that she started getting interesting, and instantly you could see the countenance change totally. She wasn't sick anymore. And she began to have fun. So get out of town, Stan. Don't say nothing. Don't do nothing. That's an example of the prophetic, not prophecy.
Right.
You can prophesy over the woman without having any unction from God. Because you have the tools, the weapons, the word. See somebody sick, you can go over there and pray for them. You can prophesy a word over them all day long, and that's okay. But the prophetic is a direct order from God, seeing what's going to happen and telling it. That make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Two different things, both administered by the Holy Spirit, both in different ways. Okay? Evangelist is a totally different administrative gift or gifting of the Spirit administered in different ways. I don't like an evangelist. I got one sitting here, and we couldn't get along. One reason is because they get them saved. Well, that's not totally true. She took them home, too. But I have to take them home. I'm not going to get them saved and walk away. I cannot handle that. Well, why? That's just personalities. No. That's administration of the Holy Spirit gifting. A preacher can preach all day long. And he doesn't get involved. A teacher, he gets involved. They may be saying the same thing. But a teacher's going to get involved. He's going to look at people's faces. He's going to see their reactions. He's going to say it 14 different ways if necessary until the light goes off in your eye. That make sense? Now, that's probably over-answer, but did I answer that question? You asked that? Okay, did I answer the question? That's a teacher's way right there. Okay, I stopped. Diversity of the gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Do you ever notice that some people are servants and some people aren't? Why would that be? Well, one of them's got pride. No, you haven't figured out what the Holy Spirit's done yet. One of the things that... Now, let's take an example of a servant. A good servant is a waiter. Those that wait upon the Lord, a waiter. They're not only interested in getting your food, they're not only interested in getting your drink, they're interested in making sure that you're a good waiter. You're totally pleased from the time you walk in to the time you walk out. Now, how many of you think that I'd be a good waiter? No. Why? Because I'm not up to snuff spiritually? No, because it's not what I was called to do. Since when? Since I was a little boy. God knew me before the foundations of the earth. I have never been able to be a waiter. I can't do it. I can do it, but I'm not any good at it. Let's put it that way. That's a better way to say it. God has put something in me from birth that I don't accept things because somebody tells me. I have to understand it. I've said this jokingly, but it's by the Spirit. In the military, I was an E3, an E4, an E5 more times than anybody can imagine. Because I'd make the grade because I was good at what they asked me to do, and then I'd get busted because I said, why? If you can't tell me why, I'm not going to do it. You don't do that in the military. It's the giftings. It's the giftings. When somebody has a gift of music, music can take you away faster than teaching can. Any day of the week. Any day of the week. God has given me an ear for music, and I can be looking you dead straight. You can be telling me how I'm going to make $1 million tomorrow, and if good music comes on, you just lost me. I'm not listening to you anymore. I went somewhere else.
Amen.
I'll try to get back. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, why did he put that in there? Because everybody wants to be a leader. Nobody wants to be a follower. And yet what he's saying is, I don't care what the gift is, it's for the profit of all. It makes a level playing field. Bring those high moguls down. Bring the ones that don't think much of themselves up, and understand that without one, you can't have the other. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. He is God. If we know anything about the Holy Spirit, He does what the Father says. Because that's what Jesus said also. And one that becomes a son of God wants to do what the Father says. All right, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ meaning the body. By the way, I skipped over one thing about the character. I wanted to continue that before I got off of it. The name of Jesus means the character of Jesus. It doesn't. Jesus' name was not Jesus. It was Emmanuel. But you don't ever hear anybody saying, in the name of Emmanuel. Because we've started this little cultish thing. That's the way I look at it. That we think that if we can just say the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus enough, anything's going to happen. But that's not the case. It's not the case. That, yes, that can be the taking the name in vain. What you're looking for is the character of Jesus. Now, where did Jesus get his character?
Father.
From the Father. But to his character was added fleshly man. God doesn't have the character of fleshly man. He doesn't even have the true understanding of fleshly man without the intercessor, Jesus.
Amen.
He doesn't understand the way we do things a lot. So he depends on his Son to help him out. Because God's never felt sin. He's been hurt by it, but he's never felt it. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he's never had an infirmity. He doesn't like fear. Because he's never been touched with fear. Okay? The character of Jesus is taking the attributes and character of God and mix it with the frailties of man, you might say, and making a living, moving, true Church of Christ, Son of God. Okay? So when I say, be healed in the name of Jesus, what you're really saying is be healed. Because it's God's will, and Jesus paid the price. That's the character of Jesus. Or that's in the name of Jesus. It is not because of a man named Jesus. Everybody remember what Jesus means? See, you can tell me what Emmanuel means, but what does Jesus mean? If you look it up, I don't care how many times you look it up, you're not going to find that it means very much.
Actually, it means salvation if you look
at it. Well, Emmanuel does.
No, Jesus.
I'm telling you, if you just keep looking it up in the Strong's, and what you're going to run into is Jesus.
Well, I mean, in the Hebrew dictionary, the word Jesus, when I look it up, it means salvation.
How can you find? Huh? That's not Jesus.
Yes.
Now, are you telling me that Jesus was in the Old Testament?
No, Joshua.
You said Hebrew.
In a Hebrew.
So he was in the Old Testament?
Because I looked it up and I looked up Jesus and it said salvation.
Good, good. I promise you, Jesus is all through the Old Testament. I don't have any doubt about that. But when you go to what we really refer to, which is the Greek, in the Strong's, and look up the word Jesus, you're going to see a number of people named Jesus. A number of them. And they really don't carry clout like Emmanuel. You understand what I'm saying? Now, it doesn't say it doesn't describe him, but it's not going to describe him Jesus, the Son of God. It's not going to be there. The reason is because that wasn't his name. His name was Emmanuel Christ, which means the deliverer anointed to do the delivering.
You know that back then, had no last
name.
So, technically, he was not Emmanuel Christ.
Yeah. Well, God told him, call him Emmanuel. No, Christ meant anointed.
Yeah, Christ.
It wasn't his name. Jesus' last name was not Christ.
Christ.
Well, okay, but it means anointed to do this thing. My name is Christ. I'm anointed to do this thing. You can say that. You've heard me. I don't know if you've forgotten my name. How many of you know my name? No. Yahweh ben Yahweh. Christ stand. Now tell me what that means.
God in the form of God.
God in the form of Son of God. Anointed, and you can call me Stan. And I don't hesitate one bit. God gave me that. He gave me that.
So are you saying that's what Jesus means? You can call me Jesus.
No, you can't call me Jesus. Well, I don't understand people. I don't understand how this works. I know that you can call me teacher. You can call me prophet. You can call me anointed. You can call me a lot of things. But most people call me Stan. And to me, that's the way Jesus was. You can call me Emmanuel. You can call me anointed. You can call me Son of God. You can call me healer. You can call me rabbi. You can call me teacher. But most people call me Jesus. Why? Well, because that's a handle we're given by our parents, by a nickname. Call me Slick. You can call me whatever. There are, especially in English, in the United States, in a lot of places, the name means nothing. It means nothing to call me Stan. But I'm telling you, in Bible times, the name meant something. So I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know what happened between call his name Emmanuel and Jesus. I don't know how he got Jesus. Are you being sacrilegious? Not at all. No. I'm telling you, Emmanuel is his character. Now, if I understand that Emmanuel is his character, and then I say in the name of his character or in the name of Jesus, then I happen to know that means salvation, that means healing, that means prosperity, that means growth, that means revelation and understanding. And if I can get that down, that what I'm really speaking is that because the character of God, because the person of God, because the character of Jesus and the person of Jesus desires above all things to see you healthy, then I can easily pray for health because I know their character, I know their desires, I know their wishes and their loves. And that's where we need to grasp in the name of Jesus means. Otherwise, we're just going to be those goofy charismatics and run around using the Lord's name in vain.
Well, the Thayer's definition says Jesus, the name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation.
Emmanuel. That isn't all it says. And you're not looking at Strong's anyway. You're looking at Thayer's.
I just said I was looking at Thayer's.
Okay. Look at Strong's.
Goes back to the original Joshua.
Yep. Of Hebrew origin, Jesus, Jehoshua, the name of our Lord, and two other Israelites. Isn't that an amazing definition? Now, if you want to know more, you go back to the Hebrew number. Yes, the Hebrew number. But I've studied that name as much as anybody has because I have... probably going to get stoned here, but I have never seen the name of Jesus do anything. Never seen the name of Jesus do anything. I've seen the character of Jesus do everything. I mean a loving Savior that would die for healing, would die for salvation. I've seen that characteristic cover sins, raise people from the dead, heal. I mean, just you haven't got time to understand what I've seen happen in healing. Jesus. It's common. It's more than common. So I think what we need to understand is what the power comes from the character of God through the character of Jesus. What does the character mean? Attributes, what they want, what they love, what they would desire for us. And when Jesus entered the earth, it's also what he paid for us. That's the characteristic, the attribute. Then what he did is he turned around and he gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, if I don't go, he can't come. So there's another characteristic that we need to tie to Father, Jesus, Spirit. And that is, God the Father wants us filled with the holiness and righteousness of God and the power of God. Amen. Through the works of Jesus Christ and the administration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus came to do the work, but he went. When he said it was finished, it is finished, he meant that. That meant his work was over. Then he said, if I don't go, why? Well, they didn't want him to go. They loved him. They didn't want him to go. He said, if I don't go, you can't have the rest of this package. You're not going to get it all. I came down here and did all this work, and you're not going to get it all. So I'm going to go. Any of that make any sense? You see how hard it is to characterize me? When you listen to me, how do you characterize me? You can't call me Nazarene, Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal. I mean, you can't call me anything. Crazy. Okay. Okay. That's coming. That's another study here. But I can give you a definition for the moment. Let's see, it's right here. It is so close to the Spirit, it's unbelievable. But the word comforter in the New Testament is nacham, which properly means to sigh or to breathe strongly, but by implication to be sorry or in a favorable sense. Not a negative sense. To pity or console and to avenge. To anything. That's a pretty broad subject. To anything. He said, the reason I'm going to study this, or we're going to study this, is because Jesus said, if I don't go, the comforter can't come. So this word comforter and the definition, wait a minute. No, I just gave you the Old Testament definition. The one spoken of in Ecclesiastes, Lamentations. The New Testament is intercessor or consoler, advocate. And that's spoken of in John and John and John and John. I think what the word comforter means is more of a character of the Holy Spirit. God character, Jesus character, the Holy Spirit character. He will hold you. He will defend you. He will console you. He will comfort you. He will hold you. But that doesn't mean he's a wuss.
That's right.
That means he can also speak to you really, really straight. Yeah. Well, the conversation, I told you that God told me. The Holy Spirit's the one that was speaking to me. But I knew who was talking. God the Father was talking. How do I know that? Because that was a daughter of His. And I know His character. It was proven through the life of Christ. He wants me to go tell her she can be healed. Jesus, the character of Jesus, when He walked up, He didn't preach salvation. He said, rise and be healed, and your sins be forgiven. You go and sin no more. Amen. First things first. We forget that healing, the bruises and the stripes of Jesus for our healing came before salvation.
That's right.
Somewhere in here, we need to figure out which God doesn't want saved sick people. That's what this the whole line in the Bible is. God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He's not interested in saved sick people. He's interested in healed, saved people.
Yeah.
Why? Well, I can... You know, I can... If I'm the temple, I would think the Father would want a good temple.
Mm-hmm.
Not a dirty, beat up one, run down, broke, busted, and disgusted temple. Look in the Old Testament and see how He commanded people to build the temple. See if it was shoddy or if it was expensive as all get out. That's the character of God. He doesn't want to just give you a do not go to hell card. That's not what He wants. His character is He wants to give you all things. Jesus, since we couldn't get all things, came and paid a price so that we could, and the Holy Spirit comes and administers the gift of healing and salvation, the understanding, the revelation of prophetic.
Amen.
That's why I've always told you over and over that getting saved is like cleaning out your gas tank. It's good, it's clean, but there's nothing in it. It removes all dirt, grime, grit, and you're spanking brand new clean. But you don't have the power to pull the hat off your head because there's no fuel in it. Jesus said, I got you cleaned up. I got to go, and here comes the filler.
Amen.
Here comes the one to put the pizzazz in you. The octane, the cetane, whatever you want to...
High octane.
Put the tiger in your tank.
That's right. There you go. I like that one the best. Put the tiger in your tank. Which I think is another characteristic or attribute of the Holy Spirit. He's going to put a little oomph into you.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Excuse me, but... You can't be a wussy and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
No.
You can't be a doormat and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Okay. We started off on 12. Let's do it again. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now he's getting into a little study of your body. You're not made up of one, you're made up of many different things. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?
No.
If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. What does 18 say? I read it to you. I want you to understand it now. So the designation of, in the Spirit now, eye, ear, nose, hand, foot, or rectum. Anybody here volunteer to be that?
Well, this says that it's not up to us.
Okay, what it says is that it's not up to us where we're put. It's as God pleased. Well, I don't appreciate my position. Paul is trying to teach you the body is nowhere without you. It's lacking without you. That's what Paul is teaching. It doesn't make any difference whether you're... It's amazing the church puts high positions and low positions and side positions and the body is one. So there isn't... There can't be a position in one. Okay? Can't be a position in one. And if they were all one member, where would be the body? Where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members... Yet one body. My toe can't do what my finger does, and my fingers can't do what my toes do. If I don't have my toes, I can't hardly... I'm extremely out of balance.
Just a little sword pole
can make it very... And then the minute you lose the ability to use one of your fingers, you think you lost the whole hand. I mean, you're just crippled like crazy. Let a shoulder hurt or an elbow or whatever. And it's like your whole side is out. You get mad because you never thought that stinking little finger ever did that much. Until you smash the fingernail and can't press anything. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you can get one little speck of anything in one eye and it shuts the body down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh! You know. Right? That's what Paul's trying to teach here. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable... Now we're getting down to that lower part of the anatomy I mentioned a while ago. On these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Okay, the things that are deemed not too important, we give greater honor. The things that are kind of stinky and we don't even talk about, we give them greater modesty. That's covering. We don't say we don't need them. We just say that's not where we stay. Of great need of these parts. But let's discuss other things. But our presentable parts have no need. Our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Isn't that amazing? God has presented it that we're to give greater honor to the parts that don't need it. What does that mean? Do you realize how little honor we give to our eyes? We use them 24/7 and we never acknowledge them. We don't hardly take care of them. Yeah, stomach you can't see. It's one of them stinky things, and yet we give it honor 24/7. I think Paul is just trying to say, they don't need honor, they're well used, but that's what I want you to give is honor. Why? What? Because he's going to build up to the leadership positions. Let me say it another way. If I'm a teacher, I'm going to teach whether you give me honor or not. If you won't, I'll find somebody else. That makes sense?
Yes.
If I have this desire to be a physician, I'm going to doctor somebody, and if you won't let me, I'll find somebody else. That makes sense to you?
Yeah.
To those people, you give honor. Where you see a calling, where you see the usage, you know. Anyway. The reason you give greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. I'll tell you what, I wish a lot of preachers could understand this scripture right here. If your position causes schism in the body, you're doing something wrong. I don't care. It's not just preachers. It can be elders. It can be deacons. I don't care who it is. If you're a praise and worship leader, if your position is causing a split in the church or friction in the church, you need to stop that and begin to have the characteristic of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, which means you care about other people. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Amen.
We had somebody leave the church here one time. The excuse was, you didn't give me enough honor. Well, you had a major position in the church. What are you talking about? What did you want us to do, introduce you every day? So I don't mind giving honor, but I sure do not respond to demand. You don't give me enough honor? That's your problem. That's your problem. You're demanding something that I don't owe you. I can give it to you with a gift, but you can't demand it from me. Now, between me and you and a gatepost, that's a shortcoming of mine, that I don't honor people enough. Blame it on what you want. Better to pray for them and get it changed. See, that's the greatest honor you can give somebody, is to pray for them.
Amen.
Not to bring them down, but to build them up. God, he or she a little short in grace and mercy, or a little short in patience, or a little short in the area of giving honor. Well, pray. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What's the more excellent way? Okay. Now, does everybody in here believe that he places gifts such as apostles, prophets, and teachers in the church?
Yes.
When's the last time you ran into an apostle? Can I tell you the true answer from the church? I don't know, because I don't know what one is. That should be the true answer of the church. Now, somebody define an apostle. Oh, he's a foundational. He's a man that sets churches up. It's not an apostle. You don't know your definitions if that's an apostle. Does anybody here remember the scripture that says that what's based on the apostle and the prophet?
Jesus Christ.
No. Do you remember?
Law and prophets.
God's law is based on the apostles and the prophets. What does that mean? That means that the church is going to be without understanding God's law without apostles and prophets. Where is the church right now? Not understanding God's law.
That's right.
They want to understand charisma. They want to understand miracles. They want to understand money. They want to understand every gifting except something that I have to honor. They want to understand what's in it for me, but they don't want to understand law. God's law. Does everybody here believe God has law?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, why don't we seek an understanding, therefore, the prophet and the apostle will show up, because that's what we desire. What's the apostle going to do? Well, first you need to understand what the prophet's going to do. The prophet's going to foretell things that you're not going to understand. I don't know why we think that we're supposed to understand everything that a prophet says. Most of the time, they're not very understandable. Revelation is a good example of that. Something you see, you speak it, and you cause confusion. Okay, therefore the apostle shows up. What does he do? According to the Bible, strictly, prophets judge prophets. Okay? That every word a prophet speaks needs to be judged by another prophet. Did you know that? That's what it says. That's not generally how it works. So let's go to the second best thing. The apostle is supposed to judge and foundationalize. Now, this church has had some experience with having to judge a prophet's word.
That's right.
Right? What does the apostle do? In the Bible, he is the foundation. Basically, the foundation. The prophet, did you know that a lot of times a prophet, an apostle will not foretell or foresee, but he can judge a foretelling or foreseeing?
That's right.
Amen. Well, why is that set up? Well, let me give you my theory on it. It's set up that way so the prophet won't get the big head.
Right.
And the apostle won't get the big head.
Right.
They have need of each other. That's what Paul's talking about.
Right.
If the prophet could just say everything and establish everything, then he would have no need of an apostle. Now, what does a teacher, these three offices that are mentioned, what does a teacher do? The apostle says this is a good word. The teacher turns big hunks of meat into stuff that's digestible and edible.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Trinity that has to be. Greater than anything we can understand.
Amen.
That's the first step. Far beyond anything we can say or expect. Well, that doesn't leave us anywhere. There has to be something that fills in that void that's that far beyond thing. That's where your apostle foundationalizes, your teacher sets into motion, says it 14 different ways so people can understand. All of these administered by the Holy Spirit. Many gifts, one Spirit. Well, yeah. To me, he's also a false teacher because he goes against the Word. This is not the only place that says that, and we know that. Ephesians 4 also says the same thing. List 5, they're a little harder to understand, but and they don't put them in order. Paul puts them in order, 1st, 2nd, 3rd. Truth of the matter is, what happens is jealousy, which is not a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I'm not an apostle, so we're not going to have any. I'm not a prophet, so we're not going to have any. Now, one preacher in Corpus that time called the prophet in and said, look, there's only one star in this house, and it ain't you. I said, well, one thing I can say is the man's honest. He opened his heart, and you know who he is. He's the star, and he wants to be the star. By the way, stardom is not a manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
If I want to be the star of the show and nobody else can say, speak, understand, enjoy, there's something wrong with me.
Well, it's like what he said earlier. When you become the star, you become the head without any feet.
Well, yeah, and you're going to fall. Because there's only one person that can say, or one entity that can say, there's only one star around here. That's God Himself.
That's right.
And if anybody other than God says it to you, then it's not real. We're going to run out of time. We're going to have to not go as long because, believe it or not, we have another appointment. Anyway, any other questions? We'll pick up there. Next Wednesday, I suppose, unless God changes our direction, which I don't. I think He wants us to understand some things.
I do too. Amen.
I want to refer back to Sunday's message. It is a tremendous message, and it'll work. It'll work greater than anything that I've ever seen. If you rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. He becomes your strength, fortified high place and tower when you rejoice. No other way. Our safe place is in rejoicing in Him.
That's right.
That's our strength, rejoicing in Him. having difficulty, ask the Holy Spirit to help you in rejoicing. That he can, like we read before, he can bring to your remembrance things that cause you to rejoice. He can put in your spirit his spirit of rejoicing. He sets you in a high place. Gets you to start. It's the way you begin to, if you want to be able to prophesy, rejoice in the Lord. Because then you can use, by the Spirit, your voice to predict the future or cause the future to happen the way you want, the way God wants. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Anything else before we dismiss?
And while you were at the Church of the Rock, did you know anybody by the name of Joanne and Harold Ellinger?
Ellinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is very sick. She is in the hospital. They can't find any way of getting her to absorb food. And they tried putting needles in her veins, and her veins can't handle anything. And they're asking for a miracle from God. That's all they can ask for. It is that bad. She's, they figure that if nothing happens in the next few days, a couple, maybe a day or two, she'll probably go on.
Hmm. Who's an elder in the church, right? Yeah, off and on for years. Well, why don't we just pray for her? And Father, what we heard Harry say is that they're asking for a miracle. A miracle, can only come from you. And so what we're really saying is we want your will to be done in her life, but a miracle has to be observed by somebody else. And so what we want from this prayer, this request, we know these people. We know they're good people. I ask you, Lord, to reveal yourself in her right now. Yes. That character we've been speaking of healing and salvation, the Emmanuel characteristic, that thing that causes people to change from death unto life, that thing that Jesus provided for, that thing that the Holy Spirit wants to administer through us, in Jesus' name, in His character, in His will, the Father's will, we speak healing unto her so strong that she bounces up and gives glory to God. Glory to God. She revels in God. She rejoices in God. And it touches others. It touches Harold. Harold stops being that politician and becomes that mighty man of God. It touches those around looking on. Relatives, friends. Touches the church. Builds the kingdom of God. Let that be established, not for my benefit and not for Harold's and not for Joanne's, but for the kingdom of the living God, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Anything else? All righty. Then you all be blessed and think on these things. Maybe there'll be some more revelation come.